Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Frank Tiger said, "Progress is not created by contented people." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. Our studio today is a guest who creates progress. Today's playmaker runs the home of the most delicious bundt cakes ever. With us today is a president who has averaged around a 15% same-store growth year-over-year over the past 4 years. This great playmaker is Kyle Smith. Kyle is president of Nothing Bundt Cakes. Now, Kyle has been president since July of 2012. Nothing Bundt Cakes sells premium quality bundt cakes available in a variety of sizes and classic flavors in over 175 bakeries in 31 states, as well as its first Canadian bakery in Burlington, Ontario. Nothing Bundt Cakes was founded in 1997 by lifelong friends Dina Tripp and Debbie Schwetz. The two joined forces, or better yet, kitchens, to help make cakes to entertain their friends and family. Now, Kyle previously was with CC's Pizza for 13 years, most recently served as senior vice president, and saw CC's more than double in unit size to its current 650 locations. Kyle was recruited by Craig Moore in 2012, then president of Nothing Bundt Cakes and former president of CC's, to join the Nothing Bundt Cakes team. Well, Kyle, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. It is great to be with you.
Well, great to have you with us. Nothing Bundt Cakes is a great name, and it's a play on words, but what is Nothing Bundt Cakes?
You got it right, though. That was good, so I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
You know what? It's a unique brand. I think when I look at it, it kind of falls between the food service world and the retail world, and so I think when we look at the category that we kind of fall in, I really do look at it as specialty retail with an amazing food product, and we've got it fits out there right now in a inline shopping center space, and so you folks are starting to see it become more and more present in their communities, and we're really excited about it. But it's a fantastic little concept, and we're really, really proud of how it's grown up over the years.
Well, apparently with the year-to-year growth you've had, you've done something right. Are you increasing franchises each year?
Yeah, we've got it. Steve, we've got it to a place right now, I think, that we've been aggressive, but not overly aggressive. I mean, I think we've got a great pipeline of interest, and it's very organic. It just kind of comes natural. It's word of mouth that gets around people that have tried the product or have heard that it's a great business model, and so we don't spend any time advertising it, so we can be very, very selective with the people that we bring in. So the last 4 years, we're probably averaging close to 35 to 40 bakeries a year, in build-out, and this year, looking ahead, probably about the same, And I think the key to our growth and the quality of growth that we've had has been in getting the right people on board and really spending a lot of time in that process and making sure that it's a great fit for them and a great fit for Nothing Bundt Cakes. And if you get that part of it right, I think that's how we've been able to, see the type of quality growth that we've had over the last few years.
Well, at 35 per year, that's about 3 per month. So your growth is moving on a regular basis. That's almost 1 per week as you're adding new franchisees.
Yep.
I mentioned Dina and Debbie, the friends who started Nothing Bundt Cakes back, 20 years ago now.
Yep.
How was the company founded?
Yeah, well, they're the key. I mean, they've been incredibly well. Even in my tenure here, they've both been unbelievably supportive, very involved in the company up until the recent transaction that took place. And Dina remains so today. Debbie is, and they each had their strengths. That at least in my experience in working with both of them, and that they had different areas that they loved to be involved in the brand. So, Debbie, for instance, was very involved in the product development, and she loved that end of the business. Dina loves the operations end of the business and kind of the retail, world that we have in the front of our buntiques, as we call them. So I really found that it was a lot of fun to be able to capitalize on the interests that they both have. they stayed, like I said, very, very present, you know, with our bakery owners, you know, at our conferences annually. Dina still, you know, she loves to go out and attend the regional meetings that we have, our town hall meetings around the country we do each quarter. So they've all found, you know, they just found a great place for them to be able to continue to have an impact as the brand grew up. Now, through this last transaction that we've been through, Debbie stepped back. And she owns a couple of bakeries, and she's actually building another one in Las Vegas now, where they both reside. And Dina's just opened another bakery herself, and she's today is the chairperson of the board for the newly formed, you know, Nothing Bundt Cakes company.
So she still is the face of the company.
Yeah, they, you know, I think they both always will be, you know, and even though Debbie's taken a different, you know, kind of a different path now. She's always going to be a part of this. And for Dina, she has a tremendous desire, strength, passion to be involved in this on a day-to-day basis. And so she's right there. She's working with us side by side.
Well, you mentioned the change. Why did Nothing Bundt Cakes decide to partner with a private equity firm?
Yeah, I've always viewed it as kind of a natural evolution of things that, you know, I mean, we'd been through that in my former life with CC's. We'd been through that and successfully. And I think that as the brand grew, it just had to do with what the, you know, with what Debbie and Dina's objectives were and how it should evolve. And Craig Moore, the same thing. And so we kind of knew that that was potentially going to be a goal of ours, was to get there, but to find the right partner. That's the challenge, I think, when you get out in the private equity world, is to find a partner who's going to share the same goals that you do for the future of the brand. We're all about building value for everybody in this brand, and our bakery owners, most importantly. But that partnership was really, really important. And as it turns out, in this deal, where we ended up is we ended up with Levine Leichman Capital Partners, who were actually the same private equity group that did the first purchase up from Joe Croce, the founder of CC's, when the management team and Levine Leichman came in and made that acquisition. I look in the rearview mirror now, but I think that was back in like 2001, so long time ago. But they're great people, and they bring a tremendous amount of resources to us that I think is going to help us grow up and continue to be able to support the growth of this brand for the next few years.
Well, this company isn't a startup 20 years later.
Yeah.
But you're still small enough. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of growth ahead of you.
Yeah.
Now, you opened up a store in Ontario. Are you looking internationally to add to what you've done in the United States?
Yeah, there's an interest there. I mean, there's no doubt we receive inquiries all the, you know, quite often. But I think that just has to be measured properly for us. So I think now with our new partners and with our, you know, our leadership team and all of that, is to kind of decide the timing on all those things, because we still see a tremendous runway domestically. If you can get those 15% comps year over year, and you can continue to build the number of bakeries we're building out, and you can do it the right way, there's still a long runway of growth for us domestically. And what I don't want to do is, I just want to always be careful not to get too far out in front of ourselves and lose our ability or our focus on supporting what has made us great to this point and stay, you know. So when the timing is right, that was an exploration to go into Canada to kind of understand it and to learn from it. And so we're gonna focus on Toronto a little bit more this year to make sure that we've got some complementary growth up there. But the bulk of our attention right now is going to be on domestic growth, because it's still, we've got a lot of opportunity in that area for us to continue to build out.
Now, when you are selling to franchisees, are you looking for them to open a number of locations in one area? Or do a number of franchisees own locations in the same area?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it, you know, I think it's a little bit of, you know, I look at it as opportunistically who comes to us and how prepared they are. I mean, I think if a great, you know, if you find somebody that kind of matches up to your fit and values and those things, and then has the experience and the financial wherewithal to be able to open multi-unit, we'll look at that. The majority of our growth and build out, though, is with single unit operators. And when they have success, and that's what's happened now over time, because now, you know, we just signed our first, you know, three renewals, you know, and just passed in 2016. And so there are folks that have been out there now, and they've had some great success, and they're started, you know, they've been thinking about it, and many of them have expanded. And so that internal growth is really, really important for us. And then, but it's finding the right balance. It's doing it at the right time so that it protects their foundation bakery, and that it continues to, that the whole brand continues to benefit from the right timing of growth. So single unit primarily, multi-unit when the right opportunities present itself.
And a franchisee can grow into multi-units apparently too.
Absolutely.
As they develop some success. Well, let's switch gears just a moment. We talked a little bit about your background because you were CC's for 13 years. Mm-hmm. But how did you get into the restaurant game?
Oh, that's that's a great question. I didn't think I was going to go back that far. It was one day, I think it was my dad trying to get me out of the house. He came one time. And
this is back in Binghamton, New York.
I grew up in Vestal, which is just outside of Binghamton, New York. And my dad was in the banking business. And so I think he came across a fine young restaurant gentleman and said, somewhere along the way, probably found out they needed a little bit of help, and I was the guy. I was the mark, maybe. But
was this one of your first jobs?
Yeah. Along the way, I had done a bunch of different things. You know, through high school, just kind of working here and there. I had actually, I think right about the same time, I'd worked at Frito-Lay for a while at their manufacturing plant up in Kirkwood. My mom worked in that plant, and so I was up there, making potato chips and I think Doritos when they first came out. It was a long time ago, but that was my first venture into the restaurant world, and it was fortunate. Once anybody who's been in the restaurant business probably tell you it's probably a love-hate relationship, but when you're in it, it gets deep into your blood. And when you're a competitive person and individual, there's a strong desire in there to be really, really good at what you do. And I just worked my way up. I started out as a prep cook, worked my way up through to manager and district manager, and on it went from there. So,
and here you are today. Yeah. Well, you have been successful in growing CC's. You were successful. You are now successful in developing Nothing But Cakes. What do you think has led to the success of this business, even before you were here?
Yeah, it goes back a little bit to what I mentioned earlier. Because they're both franchise businesses, the franchise business model is it's incredibly challenging. It's incredibly rewarding, but the foundation of that really relies on a great product, a great concept. And I always say it's no gimmicks. It's just it comes at you hard and fast, and it works. And you keep it simple and easy to replicate, and then you put it in the right people's hands. And when you do those things well and you remain focused on that, you've got something you can build off of. And it doesn't mean, you've got to pay attention to what's going on in the world around you, and you've got to be ready to evolve, and you've got to be ready to change. But if you get those core tenets right of just unbelievable quality product, great service, those are the cornerstones of everything they do. At CC's, that's what made it work. It was their attention to detail, their commitment to exceeding guests' expectations at the time at what was an unbelievably low price. It worked. It was a model that just worked, and their bakery owners and then their support team, they just supported it fanatically. And the same thing here. It's an unbelievable. It's a product quality that, quite honestly, I think is unmatched. And when you have that, and then you have the quality of people I think that we have as bakery owners in the system, and you stay focused on getting those right people in the brand. That's what both of those brands did incredibly well, and it's really what sustains you over time. And then you feed that, and you nurture that, and you take care of them, and you support them like crazy, and you give them the tools and the resources to go get the job done. And you do it so that it's balanced, in my opinion, that you want to keep it so that they feel like they're responsible for their success and not overly dependent upon what we do for them. So it is finding the right balance in that. And, and I always want to think it's their business. They're working this Nothing But Cakes brand, and they have the ability to do that, but it is their business, and we just need to keep giving them the tools, the resources to get it done. And you put it in the right people's hands, and it can be pretty special.
Well, a great franchisor gives those franchisees a great template. But a template doesn't do it. You have to actually work that process and that system to make it work. There's two ways you make money. You sell more franchisees, but you also want to increase unit sales. You mentioned resources. Anything specific you're doing for the franchisees to help them increase their sales? And I believe that the average was about, what, $1 million in sales. Are you doing anything to help increase that for them?
The model is basic and starts at the very beginning with kind of empowering them. And the, I'll give you our, a deep dark secret here, our 10,000 miles plan. That's really what Debbie and Dina started. And then a very talented marketing team kind of energized, and what our bakery owners go out and do every day. So that's the 10,000 miles plan, meaning we get our product samples or get them to come in and to try a buntlet in the bakery or a cake, but it's 10,000 miles a quarter. And that's what we try and go out, and we try and at least get that. That's kind of the steamroller that starts going for us. And so they work hard to do that every day. They'll go out business to business, knocking on doors at offices. They'll go to events that are kind of lined up with our demographic, and they'll offer samples. And they'll do whatever they can to get people to try the product, because they know once they try the product, that's where they're hooked, and that's when they start talking to others about it. Beyond that, though, I think you have to evolve. I mean, it's the support that we have them now, and you're seeing that happen with us, whether it's the social networks, the digital networks that we're using. Our email campaign has just exploded in the growth that we've had in that. And that's, again, it's a large part of the bakery owners, a great job by the marketing support team to go out there and to provide that resource and tool to our bakery owners to be able to help fuel that growth. But just great programs that continue. Now we've got some critical mass in some markets, so we're starting to regionalize where we can start to make their dollars work harder for them. The Dallas market here, has been a great example of that, with a bunch of great bakery owners that have done a terrific job, and they collectively get together on some of the marketing ideas and campaigns that they want to execute throughout the year. We were on billboards all across DFW last year, and it was very, very successful for us. And so as you grow up, it's evolving. I don't know that we'll ever be out there on, at the Super Bowl, but, why not shoot for it? So who knows?
I mean, the potential is great with over 200 franchisees and all the states and the major cities in the United States. You have a lot of potential. We're speaking with Kyle Smith. Kyle is the president of Nothing Bundt Cakes, and you can go to the website, which is Nothing Bundt, B-U-N-D-T, buntcakes.com. Well, you mentioned DFW. How many locations do you have in Dallas, Fort Worth?
Yeah, we're at about 16 open right now, and we've got two more coming online shortly. So the market's been fantastic for us. We should have 18 over the next couple of months. We'll have 18 open.
Now, obviously, anybody can go on the website, nothingbuntcakes.com, to find out your locations. Is Dallas-Fort Worth one of your largest metro areas?
Yeah, it really is. And, as the company started on the West Coast, I mean, we've had a strong presence in California, but Texas has been a great market, and Dallas, right at the top of the list.
Well, what happened to move from Nevada to DFW?
As far as the offices go? Yeah, I think that was, that was largely, when Debbie and Dina still reside there, and when Craig Moore came on. When Craig retired from CC's, and he and his wife Wendy signed on for the second franchise location here in Dallas at Preston and Royal, and fell in love with the brand. And it was perfect opportunity. The timing when Craig, to know Craig Moore, he's not very good in retirement. He's not going to sit idle very long. So it was just a perfect moment and timing, I think. Debbie and Dina were trying to figure out the franchise model and that whole process of getting that going. And Craig came on and partnered into the brand with them, and really was the driving force between, getting this thing on the franchise side rolling. Well, as he did, he started to bring some key players in, and this became, somewhat the operations, marketing, financial hub for us then. And so I don't think it was anything that was long-term. It was planned. It was kind of coincidental as to how it ended up happening. But this, with all of us being here, and then officially last year we did move we'll call the company office location, support office location here to Dallas.
You have you've had a lot of success with this company. Do you see it going publicly traded at some point?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we get asked that from time to time. I don't. You never say never, but I really don't believe so. I think there's a way a way that a company can exist in this world and, kind of in the financial world and be able to continue to build value, but you can still maintain some sense of control, feel, personality. And I think that's important to everybody. I know it is to I know it was to the founders and Craig, and I think that's why we went the route we chose to go. It's hard to say what the future would hold, but I would think not at this point. I think that this is a brand that works really well when we have, I think, really tight, close relationships with the folks that are within it, and not to get out ahead of ourselves too far. I think it makes sense.
You don't sell pizzas, you don't sell hamburgers, which is where a lot of the franchisors mm-hmm. are, but I would think your biggest goal, both for a franchisee and for a consumer, is to get them to walk into a store and take a bite. You mentioned buttlets to taste the product. I think that's the number one goal for you and your franchisees. And does your marketing help do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it really does. It's really driven. I mean, it's driven around that whole idea of getting people to taste the product and then connecting them back to our locations to understand where we are. And even when they come in, if somebody stumbled in on us for the very first time, we're going to offer them a sample of one of those phenomenal flavors, that's always available for any guest that walks through the front doors. And that's the way the business generally evolves, is that people experiment. We open a bakery. It starts out with a lot of individual sales of our buntlets, the more the individual serving.
A buntlet is a smaller version
correct.
Of a bundt cake.
That's correct. And what happens is with that, generally every day in the bakery, we've got 10 flavors. All of our flavors are out there for them. And so what will happen is, I think, as guests are discovering the concept, they're going through and they're testing, they're trying their favorite flavors out, and they generally will start out with buntlets. Well, they graduate from there, which is fun, and you watch it over time to now when that special occasion, that birthday, holiday rolls around, they've pretty much selected their favorite flavor at that point, or their family has, and they're graduating on to cake. So it's fun to watch people, and that's generally how the businesses grow as each bakery opens.
So it's obvious you can contact your local Nothing Bundt Cakes and have something special made.
Absolutely.
But I could also walk in and buy something off the shelf, so to speak.
Correct.
There are bundt cakes there to purchase when you walk in.
Absolutely.
So you can satiate your appetite very, very quickly. Are most of your locations in strip centers?
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, it's about 1600 to 1800 square feet. It's kind of been the model for us. It's really efficient, to do the types of volumes we do out of that. But strip, I think that works well just from an economic standpoint. It makes the model very, very strong to do it that way. It's just a very efficient, set up an operation for us. And generally, we've got a few other bakeries that get out there a little bit bigger, in the 2,000, a little over 2,000 square feet. But we try and stay in that 1,800, square foot range, and that works well in the strip center setup.
Now, you're looking for franchisees, and you can also go to Nothing Bundt Cakes on their franchising tab to find out about franchising. And it's not difficult financially to get into a Nothing Bundt Cakes franchise. Is there a type of franchisee you're looking for?
I've used the word balanced before. I think there are a lot of folks that get into this business or want to be a part of Nothing Bundt Cakes in particular because they fell in love with the product or they fell in love with the idea of owning a bakery. And you have to be cautious with that because it is a business. It is work. It's hard work to get it off the ground and go, especially when you're out in a new market. If you're the first in, that it takes a tremendous energy and effort to break through and to get that brand awareness going. So you have to find, I'm always looking for somebody that I think is a cultural fit. We talk about, and it can't be cliche, but shared values, and that beyond a fit for the brand on the personality side and the desire to serve and to go out there and to take risks and get our product in the community. They've got to have all those things. But on the other side of it, they've got to have a business sense. They've got to have a commitment to knowing that this is a business and not thinking that it's going to be a hobby, because that quickly wears off. And so I think just the balance of that between finding the right personality fit and having the right business skill set and a support structure too. Most people don't come into this alone. There's a lot of husband and wife teams, and there's a lot of partnerships out there, and just looking to make sure that they've got the right support set, whether it's on the business side of, of what they're setting up in their structure, or whether it's out there on the hiring and recruiting side, putting all those pieces together to help make sure they got the best possible chance of success before we bring them on board.
You've mentioned a lot over the last few minutes about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. What's next for Nothing Bundt Cakes?
I'll tell you, one of the things that I hate to hear probably as much as anything is when companies go back to basics. So I'm going to try never to do that with this brand. And what I mean by that is that I think we're always working on the real basic things that are going to allow us to continue to be successful in the future. So for us right now, I mean, we're continually working to refine that selection process, that real estate process, making sure the training process is as buttoned up and better than it's ever been. I think all the elements that we look at, the way that we support our bakery owners, because this thing won't grow if we don't do those things really, really well. And all of them lead to it. We give when a new or prospective candidate comes to us and they begin to work through the process, we give them the name and phone number of every bakery owner in our system. We don't hold one back. And as a result of that, I will tell you that the greatest asset that this brand has is its current bakery owners and the fact that they are honest, they will give that recommendation, and I'm thankful that the vast majority of them will do it again. And if they had to do it all over again, and that you never want to lose that. In the franchise world, if you can get your franchisees, and in this case our bakery owners, if you can get them to be your greatest brand advocates, then that process, and that's what we're going to keep working on, because if we get that piece of it right, this will keep going. We're going to work on the quality of our product still. I think that there's ways that we can make that even more consistent than it is. And that still is, right there with our people, the quality of our product is the foundation of what we do. So we've got some, we've invested in research and development this year to look at some new flavors and not necessarily try and add a lot of things in. I still want to keep it simple, but I think at the right time, there is the right time when we can introduce new product news, especially as the brand matures. That's going to be important. So we're investing a little more heavily on the R&D side this year, but a lot of that still is back on our current product quality and just making sure, again, that can be great and consistent from bakery to bakery as we build out these next bakeries across the country.
So when a franchisee purchases a franchise or mm-hmm. buying into a family?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I mean, we talk about whether I've heard it debated as to whether it's a family, if it makes sense to say that, because there's certain folks that'll take a different opinion about whether that makes sense or not. I've heard it said you can't really fire family. Is it a community? I've gone through those debates philosophically over time, and no, this is a Nothing But Cakes family. There's no doubt about it. I mean, one of the first questions I was asked when I came on board by a bakery owner, one I respect tremendously at our conference was, we talked about concerns about growth. And he asked, he goes, how are you going to keep the warm and fuzzy? And so I've had that on the board, and I haven't forgotten it since that day.
And that's a big part of what the business is all about. Well, how do our listeners get a hold of you and your business about either going to a Nothing But Cakes location and or becoming a franchisee?
Well, I think the easiest way these days, nothingbutcakes.com. That's folks can inquire through there and look for a very, very quick turnaround time on a response. We're honored that somebody would, take the time to want to invest in Nothing But Cakes if that's their so desired goal. And then as far as finding locations, they can start there and do the same thing, and it'll take them right to an order if they're so inclined to go and make a cake purchase as well.
Well, Kyle, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. It was my pleasure. It was great to meet with you.
Well, good meeting you. You definitely are a playmaker. This has been a terrific show. We just spoke with Kyle Smith. Kyle is president of Nothing But Cakes. That's nothingbutcakes.com. And it's great having you on the show, and thank you also for listening and joining us. Join us also at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we'll be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.